Well, let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today and use the words that I speak and quicken them for each of us in terms of our own lives and however that is to be applied, and may it warm our hearts in this cold day. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you guys, but this has been the longest January I have ever seen. Now, I've never been to a Siberian work camp, nor have I worked in Antarctica, but this month I have been cold, very cold at times. This month I've leaned hard into the snow for 5 to 10 minutes at a time. Didn't want to have a heart attack or anything like that, and shoveling and moving stuff around, wondering if my face, it's not just how cold it's been, it's the wind. I just wonder whether or not, my face would ever regain any feeling as the blue, because of the wind. We've received a vicious blast of winter. In fact, I can't remember a winter like this except 77 and 78, and I was living in Kentucky then. And so it ought to give us pause. You know, how easily we can be disabled by nature. If God so chooses to deal with us, we're an easy mark, actually. The best place to be during midwinter's blast is inside, away from the cold, maybe under a pile of blankets and near a fireplace that's burning hot. Living through midwinter's blast can be hard. We get buried under these raw temperatures and welcome back to it tomorrow morning, I guess. Lots of snow. We can't get around too easily because of things. We don't see people like we would normally see them. I mean, January seems like it's been forever. We get stuck. We're cold, bone cold. It's not just cold, it's bone cold. Painful, traumatic cold. Now, which brings me to some thoughts. You know that not all of winter blasts are outside of us. Sometimes they are on the inside. When winter blows hard in our souls, when you might feel broken or bruised or barren, and just kind of like the scenes that we see outside, we get frozen on the inside. I mean, this church was frozen on the inside the first week of January. But I expect with all the people here, some of us right now might be experiencing the winter of the soul, you might say, wondering if whatever we're experiencing will ever end, struggling to go on, wind-whipped and raw on the inside, feeling like packing it in. We get cut off from other people in general and from friends and family in particular by the winter of the soul. The winter of the soul. We experience the winter of the soul when trauma strikes us. Trauma is by definition an injury to living tissue. And it's usually caused by an outside agent. A person suffers trauma when they have been injured. Trauma occurs as a mental, emotional, behavioral, physical state, resulting from the stress of a physical injury or a psychic injury, a mental injury. A person or people are traumatized when bad things happen to them or by what they perceive as bad things sometimes, such as divorce, physical injuries, crippling weather like we've experienced here in terms of the coldness. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be an earthquake like they have out in California. It could be like tornadoes that Washington, Illinois experienced this past fall. It could be continued abuse, whether it's verbal or sexual or physical or otherwise. It might be floods. We hear about that every spring. It could be financial disaster that comes upon us. Could be fire. Might be a loss of a job. the winter of the soul. And it occurs because people get traumatized by things that hit them from outside. We've seen trauma on TV a lot with the devastating things that have happened around. Most recently around here is Washington, Illinois. Those tornadoes just tore the place up. And it's a mess. And I talked to a person who is doing some work there. It's a mess. We experienced physical trauma right here in Decatur because of the weather in the past month. And we experienced to lesser or greater degrees depending upon our situation or our lifestyle. Trauma is brought on by stress. And stress is caused by outside agents like the weather, earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, death of loved ones, fighting between people. Trauma is the word for the result of stress. Stress is the bottom line on drug abuse in many people. Our emotional wounds are often very deep. They don't bleed like injury to our body, but they are just as real, they are just as painful, and probably more painful, but they don't show. They can't be seen, and I expect that sitting in this group right here, there are people who are facing painful trauma. We don't see them in others very easily. Other people don't see them in us either. And because we don't see them, they're often very difficult to treat. The trauma of stress. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen these stress tests that are out there, but I went online this past week, and there's a bunch of them. You can find them if... But in the one that I was looking at, in that test, if you have a score of more than 200 points in a year, it is highly traumatic. It is more stress bringing on trauma than a person can stand. On this test, death of spouse is 100 points, or death of child is 100 points. Divorce is 73 points. Even Christmas is listed. I don't think they give them enough points for that one. It said 12 points just for Christmas. I think that 25 to 50 would be better. And it's really, it's no wonder people snap under the pressure like a limb on a tree under the pressure of ice and snow as the wind of change in the weather blows through. Other things that bring on the winter of the soul cost and the high cost of trauma are because of stress or problems. Problems with children or family conflict. Problems that are the result of personal injury or illness. Or maybe it's constant pressure on the job or in our family. Uncertainty over job security. Pressure to compromise your principles for the sake of your career. Extensive change. Like building a house, or I've experienced over the years, building a church. But all of these things are basically environmental conditions, and they are like the weather. If there is enough bad weather in a person's life, the stress causes trauma. And the definition of trauma is injury to living tissue. The winter of the soul, when everything freezes up. You get snowed in, so to speak. One of the greatest stresses in life is the loss of options. There was a movie out 20 years ago or so called Middle Age Crazy. And it was about a father who had just turned 40 and he begins to feel his life is controlled by others. His business, his wife, relatives with personal problems. He's unable to cope with the stress. And so he is traumatized. And he tells his wife at one point, I'm tired of being daddy to everybody. And then he goes crazy. And he just goes wild. Midlife crisis. And ears that hear these words may very well understand what I'm saying. And the trauma of stress, which brings on the winter of the soul, you're trying to cope a lot of times without hope, but you're also trying to cope a lot of times without rest. You are stretched dangerously close to that 200-point limit on the stress test. There's no relief on the horizon, and you are bleeding internally, and you're running out of bandages amid winter's blast, and which is blowing freezing temperatures your way. And if so, you are close to the edge. And the other thing about that is you know you're close to the edge because you can see over it. Now, I have no complicated answer for the winner of your soul. There is no feed, no special password, no trip to Jerusalem, except the words of Jesus. And I want to give them to you and let him speak to you. Read with me Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Here we go. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Anybody here heavy laden? Anybody here who is stressed under your labors? Unloaded at the foot of Jesus. Allow him to take your trauma and stress. Jesus is the one who knows our misery. He's the one who knows our situation. He's the one who knows where we live, packed in by the snow and the freezing temperatures of the winter of the soul. He knows trauma. He's the one who sweat blood over the agony of his coming sacrifice. He's the one who experienced the trauma of injury to the living tissue of his life on our behalf when he was scourged, when he was crucified on the cross. If anybody understands trauma, Jesus does. His provision is profound. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He's the one who says, come to me, all of you in the winter of your soul, who labor to dig out and are heavy laden by the weather of your life. Besides the trauma of stress under the weight of so much snow and freezing temperatures this month, I've also become aware of pain. You know, this month, I don't do a lot of shoveling, because I'm old. But I do some. And just moving snow around a little and using muscles in the ways that they really haven't been used for a while. Anybody did that? It isn't just the cold either. It's the wind when you're out there doing that stuff. I've experienced pain. Have you been driving in this wonderful city of ours and noticed the roads? They're full of holes and broken up and sidewalks. I've come to realize that it's not just sidewalks and streets that get broken up because of the cold. People get broken up because of the cold. I've experienced the pain in my fingers and my toes. I've experienced the pain of the wind hitting my exposed flesh. I've experienced the pain in my joints and my bones. While you're digging out and trying to reestablish some of the activities of your life, I experienced the pain. Some of us who may be in the winter of the soul will experience in the midst of trauma and the stress and the weather in our lives, we will experience pain. Are you experiencing trauma? Are you under a great deal of stress because of life situations right now? I know this. There's a lot of us here, I guarantee it. The weather of your life. Are you experiencing the winter of your soul? If so, to dig out, you have to experience pain. Sometimes it's psychic pain. It's all up here. Viktor Frankl, who suffered the winter of his soul in Nazi death camps, made this statement, and it is a great truth. All you have to do is think about yourself. I've heard of people going in for minor surgery. Oh, he's going in for minor surgery. Well, maybe minor to you. Suffering swells to fill the soul. And that suffering can be the death of a loved one. the loss of job, or it can just be a hangnail. Suffering swells to fill the soul, and it's all yours. You ever notice that? Your suffering is all yours, and it will fill you to overflowing, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter whether it's a hangnail or if it's cancer. From loss of job to losing money on an investment, it doesn't matter. It fills the soul. Suffering is the pain of the soul. Suffering is the pain in the winter of the soul. Pain humbles the proud. I want you to think about pain. It is silent and it's relentless. It freezes the lonely soul. The heart alone knows its own sorrow, and no other person can fully share it. It's yours. Pain operates alone. It needs no assistance. It communicates its message to presidents and factory workers. It conveys its message to preachers and atheists alike, to mother and child. Pain refuses to be ignored. Pain reduces its victim to frozen anguish. Pain is real. How do you deal with pain? Well, I think that's one of the things that you do, you move with it. You become more familiar with it. You don't let it be such a big deal. You see, the sufferer either submits to it and learns from it, developing an inner strength and character, or the sufferer of pain resists, becomes bitter and frozen, and then begins to crack, just like sidewalks and streets do, and a lot of times it's over with self-pity. In scriptures, I do not find any strong-willed person whom God uses greatly until God causes that person to suffer the winter of the soul and experience a frozen environment in which he is hurt deeply. I am so glad that scriptures like the one that I have in Jeremiah are in the Bible, so that we realize this is not all butterflies and rainbows out there. Life can be very tough at times. I'd like you to read with me the words of Jeremiah. And it's his cry for pain, a man who took his stand for God, and all he got for his stand for God was his troubles. Let's read it together. Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, a son is born to you, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb. So my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Why did I come forth from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? That's the cry of a man in fierce pain. Jeremiah, a prophet of God, is experiencing the winter blast in his soul. He is a man who is suffering the trauma of personal injury to his mind and soul. I want you to think about your pain. Whether you have it now or you have it later or whenever. Whether it's physical or mental or emotional. You know, if you hit your hand really hard on a table, you would feel that pain intensely. And if you think about that pain and you concentrate on that pain, you will feel it for quite a while. But suppose you saw your son or daughter about to be hit by a car in the street, and if you ran and saved that child, and in the midst of that event, hit your hand but saved your child, you would ignore your own pain. You would be thrilled at saving your child. Now, I've said it, and this is one of my pet things, 90% of life is just showing up. Well, I also think this, 10% of life is what happens to us, and 90% of life is how we respond to what happens to us. So I want you to take your hands and put them over your ears, but make sure you can still hear me. I mean, you could stick your fingers in your ears, but now I want you to say this, living is between the ears. Living is between the ears. It really is. Dealing with pain is not to deny it, but sometimes it is to ignore it as you move with it and to learn how to experience pain and not let it freeze you up. Trauma is injury to living tissue by definition. Stress brings about trauma. Trauma causes great pain. What about the pains in your life? What about past injuries in your life? Do you hold on to them? You know, a person may have hurt you once, but every time you nurse or coddle that old grievance and concentrate on it, what does it do? It hurts again, doesn't it? Just like you focus on a physical ailment or hurt. The way to deal with pain is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, that sounds like a cliche, and maybe it is, but try it. Some of you experience a lot of pain because you are followers of Jesus as well. You know, sometimes it's personal. You get persecuted for being Jesus' man or woman in this world. You get mocked. You can be mocked by your own spouse, for that matter. You receive injury on behalf of Jesus. Well, Peter, the big fisherman, he wrote to his Christian friends. Read with me 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Here we go. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. He said, hey, don't be surprised if you get persecuted for Jesus' sake. Followers of Jesus need to deal with pain. When pain comes your way, you'll say, well, I'm not surprised. When I believed, I knew suffering was part of the package. It's in the Bible, by the way. Jack said it was so. It's part of the disciples' calling. Personally, I say God curse those false prophets out there who offer a prosperity gospel, and they remove the warning label. These churches and ministers who never mention the suffering part. A curse be upon those who play up the benefits and they deny the suffering. What happens is that when new believers experience pain or trouble or suffering, they will do one of two things. They will either reject Jesus and become shaken and cynical and mean and frozen by the winner of the soul, or they will be weak and chronic whiners who focus on their pain instead of on the purpose they were called to witness to. Don't remove the warning label from your Christian faith. Now, I experience a lot of pain. Bone pain, muscle pain this month. It's not just from moving snow either. It's just the weather. You know, some of you are old enough to know this. It causes pain. But you don't learn to deal with it in order to move the snow or whatever so you can dig out from the winter's blast that you may be suffering under. You persevere. You keep at it. The pain's still there. You know, all this applies to our physical lives, our earthly lives, our daily lives as well. It applies to our families, our businesses, our job situations, our relationships. We all experience stress. We all get injured by the stress of life in small ways, some of us in very large ways. We all experience trauma from our injuries. We all experience pain in small ways and large ways. We also, all of us, experience this in our spiritual life as well. Following Jesus brings about stress and trauma and injury and pain. I suggest ignore the pain and move with it and fulfill your purpose in life. Living is between the ears. It's a matter of attitude, an attitude of patience and trusting in God and taking action by prayer and seeking godly advice and persist and persevere in dealing with your problems one by one. Now, I want to kind of close just by reading some scripture to you at this point, or letting us read it together. It's a word of God for those who experience the winter of the soul in the midst of winter's blast. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in chapter 4. Let's read it together. So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And Paul's writing to the Corinth about trauma and suffering, pain. The Apostle James was writing. Let's read it together. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And this, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In the Bible, there are pictures of people who live through the winter of the soul. And in the midst of winter's blast, enduring their own suffering and persevered. Noah persevered for 120 years and was saved from the flood. Childless Abraham was finally buried by his two sons. Jacob ended up with wealth. Joseph suffered prison and slavery for 12 years, but ended up with power and fame. And Job, in the midst of the winter of his life, said the words that are printed, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He ended up smelling like a rose. In the midst of winter's blast, will you still be alive when spring comes? You know, and this is not just winter, but the winter of our souls. I look at a stand of trees covered with snow and ice out there, and they all look dead. But we won't really know which trees are dead until spring comes. When the wind of spring hits, those trees will come to life. And if there are any which are dead, well, then we will know. And it's the same way with people and churches as well. I've noticed known a lot of people who have gone through the winter of their lives, trauma, terrible things happening. When the winter winds are blowing, you can't always tell which Christians are alive and which Christians are dead because the life has gone down into the roots. But when spring comes, when the wind of the Holy Spirit begins to blow like the spring winds, then you'll know which Christians who suffer from winter's blast and which churches that suffer from winter's blast are still alive. You see, it goes down into the roots when we're experiencing it. But they will bud and bloom. Thomas a Kempis said he is not truly patient, who will suffer only as much as he pleases, or from whom he pleases. In the winter of the soul, when the cold winds blow and you seem to be digging yourself out, and there's a lot of stress and trauma and pain, have faith. Keep at it. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. It's a warm word in a cold day. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would Help us to live through the winters of our lives and the traumas of our lives so that when the spring comes, we can bloom again. In Jesus' name, amen.